You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
Ooh, you sitting there waiting all patiently.
I've been waiting for 18 hours.
Okay, 10 minutes.
So you know what I did today?
Oh, let me hear this.
I walked for 3.5 miles in 96 degree weather.
Why?
It was so hot. Like I had to slow my pace because I didn't want to melt. And so I had a little strategy. So, okay, look, I'll walk a little slower and then I'll find some trees. I'll get underneath the trees. I'll take my cap off, let my head air out, and then continue upon my journey. And at some point at about the 3.5 mile mark, I thought, I'm a goddamn fool. What am I doing?
I could have told you that for free.
This ain't no strategy. What about
Hey dum dum? Remember when I said to you at one point, this was years ago, before COVID, and I said, I'm not sure how I feel about vaccines. And you said, listen, dum dum.
Some things are non-negotiable. And then, like, when you're talking to your family or your friends or loved ones and they say something stupid, you got to just tell them right off the bat, that's stupid.
You said dumb, you call me dumb dumb. I was like, okay, maybe I should rephrase my thoughts.
I was not going to have my best friend be a COVID dumbass. Like, you know, is that going to happen? We are getting all the vaccinations. We're getting extra vaccinations. And
everything.
That's what people don't want. I'm getting theirs.
It's what's similar, like trolls say on like vegans, if they post something, the trolls will say something like, I'm going to double my meat intake just to make up for what you're not eating. So I'm double upping on the vaccines for the dum-dums that aren't doing the vaccines.
I just got my shingles second little wave. And, you know, the interesting thing about that one is that we may have talked about this before, is that, you know, those of us who got all those vaccinations when we were a kid, you know, we didn't know that 40, 50 years later, they expired. And
no
so,
idea.
Yeah, we had to get new ones. Now, you know, everybody knows about the annual flu shot and stuff like that. And, you know, most people get that. However, shingles, mumps, measles, rubella, all that kind of stuff. You know, 34 years later, they were like, hey, you need to get an update for this. So I was at the doctor, I don't know, like a couple of weeks ago. And the doctor was like, oh, did you do your shingles or whatever, something? Because, you know, I'm in my 50s. And they go, you need this right now. And I was like, you know, I don't. And the doctor was like, I'll be right back.
BRB.
Yeah. She brought the COVID and she brought shingles or something. I got both jabs, and you know what? I'm satisfied. That's fine.
That's, you know, that's what I said too. When I went to Brazil, she said, hey, there's a yellow fever vaccine. I said, I didn't even let her finish. I said, yeah, I'll take it. Like, I'll take that. If I need my tetanus, all of it. Like, I have two arms, just put them in there. Like, I believe in science.
Controversial. And you know, yeah. you know, another thing interesting about that is that, you know how you hear or read or see the stories about, you know, 100 years ago, you know, humans' life expectancy was lower, or if you go, you know, 800 years ago, or 1,000 or 10,000 or something like that. And, you know, because people died, and babies die quite frequently, and women died in childbirth, and people died from, you know, what we now consider pretty basic diseases and viruses and things like that. But humans were living, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, depending on how far back you go. And it was rare to have someone, you know, in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. Like, those were rare. And so, you know, we have these modern healthcare and blah, blah, blah. But I read something that a scientist says that was really interesting. They said that those humans had the capacity to live just as long as we live. Like there was nothing in humans or the planet or anything that prevented them from living 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It's just that they didn't have the technology and the medicine and the knowledge that we have now. That's the only difference. That's it. So,
Because yeah, back in the day, like you had polio, you had all these diseases that didn't have
right.
those vaccines, so people died earlier, so the life
Earlier.
expectancy was shorter.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
we didn't have, the wellness care for, pregnant women, and we didn't have, cures for, common colds or things like that, and that you didn't have time to tend to that. You had to go work or you died. If you go 800, 1,000, 5,000 years ago, there was no rest. There was no weekend. Like you only you had to survive every single day. And one of the reasons people died was, yes, there was disease. You broke a leg, right? All that, those kind of things. And so now we live longer because of the healthcare, but also because we, in general, modern society makes life easier for us to avoid all the reasons that people were dying before. And vaccinations are part of it, but all the rest is a part of it too. So humans now, on average, live longer, but we could have always lived longer. And so that's why, like, it makes no sense to then say, I don't want this vaccination. Like, what the fuck? How are you?
Dumb. It's very similar to like parents that are not giving vaccines to their like for measles and chicken pox in Florida,
Right.
most recent that I heard. And you know, it's funny that we even have to talk about polio, but you mentioned medications and vaccines. I don't know if you heard, okay, so you know Ozempic is everywhere, and some people just don't admit it. It's very similar to women that go get a BBL and then they post on their like IG stories, this is how I grew my glutes. And they're like
Yes.
band exercises, and everybody thinks I'm going to buy their program and my butt's going to look like theirs. So a lot of these people are not talking that Ozempic is their helper to get the, because Oprah struggled with her weight all her life. And then suddenly she's like, I finally got my eating right. Bitch, you got Ozempic. But that's the moral of the story is that she was in the hospital recently for stomach flu or what the, you know, like I'm putting that in air quotes. But
Sure.
she had a stomach bug. And you know, stomach issues are associated with Ozempic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like there's you know, I had a friend that had her, she had a stomach collapse, like after she took Ozempic and she couldn't keep anything down. And that is part of, and that's probably not the medical term, stomach collapse.
Sure,
Maybe it's,
sure.
but
It's a side
so
effect.
what?
It's a side effect.
Yeah, it's a side effect that this could cause that kind of damage. So, you know, maybe she did have the stomach flu. Maybe, like, I don't know. But I don't know why Oprah going into needing IV due to dehydration and something else due to a stomach virus would make national news. I think there's some sort of side effect happening. That's not my medical, that's
Sure.
my alleged thought around, like, here you have. You and I talking about vaccines that can help you. There's medication that can help people, especially, you know, severe obesity. These medications are made for people with type 2 diabetes and it's regulated their insulin. Like all, there's still some benefits of that. But what's funny is, and what I'd like to know is, are the people that are anti-vax pro-Ozempic?
That is really interesting because I don't think they are.
You don't think so?
I don't think they are. I think that, like, if we just look at celebrity culture, like you were
Yeah.
talking about Oprah, I just saw a photo of the new Christina Aguilera, and
Oh, God.
she looks like she did when she was 17 or 18.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's possible.
Right. Tiny. And then various other celebrities.
Kelly
Megan
Clarkson. Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson, right? She looked like she did on her first American Idol audition. And I think that the culture in Hollywood, particular celebrity, not Hollywood, but celebrity, is that you get thin at any cost, right? At any cost, they will get thin. And so before Ozempic and those drugs, it was, I remember back in the 90s, it was fenfen. Remember that stuff?
Oh, like phentermine and all that, or
Yeah.
fenfen. Yeah.
It was just uppers, right? It was just uppers. Like you just, they just made you go crazy. But and then before that, you can go to, different other drugs. Even cigarettes were promoted as a way that for women to stay thin.
God.
So we know that celebrity culture in general will do anything, almost anything to stay thin. Like you said, the BBLs and all those different surgeries, stomach surgeries and stuff like that. And so it, on the other hand, we know a lot of celebrities who are pushing, do not get vaccinated, right? And that's that Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey, those people started a lot of that bullshit, right? Trying to
Yes.
associate this stuff with autism because her
Yep.
autism. And so I think that the same way they convince themselves that vaccinations are not good, even though the vast majority of them are vaccinated. I mean, we got to get that out of the way. Like Fox News, always they still rail against vaccinations, but in order to be in a Fox News building, you have to be vaccinated.
And then they're talking about and supporting the anti-vax movement.
Yes, it's supporting anti-vaccine. They're all vaccinated, sitting on their asses. But we know they like to be skinny in the celebrity culture. So I think the same way they convince themselves that vaccinations are no good, they convince themselves that a drug that can make one or have one lose weight is okay because there's health benefits to losing weight. That's what I think they tell themselves.
Wow. Imagine the conversation that you have in your head surrounding that,
Oh.
like to validate that. Because, I'm all for, like, if you want to keep your secret,
Yeah.
I don't have good skin. I don't have great skin. I have really great skin. And it's not because I use really great skincare products. I try to SPF. I have, I get facials. Like, I have really great skin. I also say I have Botox to keep my skin looking smooth. Like, it would be like J-Lo who says, use olive oil for your skin and you'll look like this. Meanwhile, she's getting laser treatment, she's getting fillers, she might even have mini facelifts, she's getting Botox. Like, just come clean about that, because I don't understand
Right.
why.
And every photo is, is delicately, highly professionally photoshopped.
1,000%. So then you tell these people that you live in this society that I was just one of God's favorites. My skin is not wrinkly because I use olive oil. Like, how stupid do people think they are? And why can't you admit that? You can admit that you're a multimillionaire based off your shitty singing performance, but you can't say that I get Botox and fillers every once in a while. Like, be like some Sofia Vergara who says, yeah, I do all that shit. I haven't got a facelift yet, but I will at some point if I have to. Like, just be that blunt and
Just
honest.
be that button, honestly. And you know what? I think that's okay. Like we have the technology, whether it's medical or whatever it is, for people to care for their bodies inside and out. And that Ozempic weight loss, it was a byproduct of looking for a drug that could treat diabetes,
Yes.
right?
Regulate your, yep.
Yes. And then I remember the early news stories was like, wait a minute, it's treating diabetes and people are losing weight.
Yep.
And once that hit the atmosphere, it went crazy because people wanted to lose weight.
It
And
went
right, then you
crazy.
start seeing regular people, like you and I, going to the doctor, and the doctor's saying, we don't have any. Like it's
Nope.
out because it's been sucked up by wealthy people. Like they just bought it because they want to be skinny. And then you have people who actually need it because there is a reason for the drug,
Yes.
right? Like a lot of these drugs, whether it's heart, kidney, liver, blood pressure, diabetes, all these maladies that big pharma, like let's be honest, big pharma actually does things to help people manage these diseases and things like that. Now, the flip side of that is you can eat well, work out, mind your business and do the right things, but yet can still be genetically prone to getting
Yep.
one of those diseases. Doesn't mean you smoke or drink or do drugs. You could just get
Your
stuff.
genetics,
Yeah, like my genetics as a Black American, we are predispositioned to hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart. Like that is encoded in our DNA. And so as we get older, we have to watch these things closely. So I get with my doctor. I was just at the doctor. I just did some blood work, some follow-up blood work to check on all my vitals, right? How was my blood pressure? How was my blood sugar? How all this kind of stuff that my doctor is monitoring, a few times a year because I'm a Black male. I'm in my 50s and I have a family history of all those diseases. So you got to watch them closely. And my doctor, it's actually a pretty good doctor. She says, my first things I want you to do is let's not do medication. Let's do lifestyle changes, right? So
Start there.
less meat, less deli meat, less meat, more greens, more things with iron because I have a low iron count, less sweets, more physical activity, blah, 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 all the basics. Just let's do this stuff and we'll monitor it. And then if we need to do something, if we see the vitals aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, we'll start off with something very slowly and work our way. And I was like, okay, let's do that. So, you know what? So there's a reason for that Ozempic, but man, and I don't have a problem with that because if people can be smaller in nations that have obesity problems, and our nation has an obesity problem, and if science can figure out a way to mitigate that, it's better for the country overall because there's less strain on the entire medical system and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm okay with that. I get that. But to your point, it's weird to hide it. Like,
Hide it. Just tell it. And I think, yeah, we're number, there's a list of things that America is number one in, and it's usually not good. But obesity, we're number one in the world in obesity rates.
right.
I did hear, I haven't done enough research, but I also know that Ozempic has helped people that drink a lot to trigger their brain to stop craving alcohol.
That's
So, I mean, I think there's some benefits to it. It's the like, yeah, I took Ozempic. I have a sister that could sit on a podcast with you and talk for hours about
yes.
obesity, larger bodies. We say larger bodies, medium-sized bodies, smaller bodies, who can talk for hours around how quick people are to like just here's medication, and then kick people out of their office. So
Right.
I think there's so many layers to it, but at the same time, like if I'm gonna do something, I'm not gonna lead false hope to people that, oh, I finally, after 40 years of trying to struggle and be a certain size, I finally found the secret formula. And that was just eating less calories. Oprah's been on Weight Watchers, she's been
Everything.
on Slim Fast, everything. And then suddenly at 60 something years old, she's like, I figured it out. No, you figured it out with our friend Ozempic.
Oh, hey, Oprah, we have watched you for 30 or 40 years.
30 or 40 years, your show, you wheeled out that fat
Yes.
on a wagon to show how much weight you
Right.
lost, and then you gained it back. Like, don't come at me. Don't come at me like we are stupid. I think that's what bothers me the most, like that
That's
we
annoying.
are perceived as they're never gonna know.
Right. Like that little meme. They're gonna know that they're gonna know. They're gonna know. I think it just would have been so much better and maybe even powerful if Oprah said, after 30 and 40 years, right, of trying every diet, every new process, being on the board of directors and part-time owner of Weight Watchers, that I decided that
Needed help.
I need help. Like I have tried. You've seen me be skinny Oprah. You see me be really big Oprah. You've seen me talk about calories, exercise, all the stuff, right? And now, I'm 67 and I'm still struggling with my weight. And so I think for the last phase of my life, I am going to take this drug because I have tried everything and I think I'm at the best I can do and I need extra help. And I think this extra help can extend my happiness and my physical and mental well-being. And I'm going to do that. And I think she'll said that people be like, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Coolio. It's very, because my sister, listen, I would take Ozempic if I didn't have a sister that would disown me if I did, right? Because she's like, that's not the long-term solution. You can't be on it forever. And people don't like, she'll give you a whole spiel on why. But yeah, I think, in our world, people, physicality has been indoctrinated into us. It is the patriarchy of showcasing of how women should look. That's
Yes.
just been around for, like, but being number one, I was thinking about when I mentioned number one in obesity and some of the other things were number one, and we've talked about this before, but there's something that comes up on my feed about the countries that have the most like war products, I should say. So, like, who has the most ships? Who has the most like helicopters?
Okay.
And today across my feed, it was talking about like Black Ops helicopters, and it went through like the smallest. Like, I can't remember who the first country was, but like 15, then it went to 25, then it went to 300, and then China was like 599. America was 1,000.
Oh my God.
And the number one in having these military, I'm trying to figure out the word that I'm trying to say, vehicles. So from ships to airplanes, like to think about how vast, how much money we spend on our, we do in the world, we spend the most on our military. It's, we're number one in that as well.
Yeah, I think just to interject, I think the U.S. government's military spending is more than like the next 10 nations combined. Like, so you get China, Russia, the big nations of France, England, Israel, Brazil, these countries like that. The U.S. destroys all those nations in terms of spending. We spend more than all of them combined.
Like, how is that? So how is that even like possible, thinking about how, I mean, no one's gonna fuck with us, right? Because of how are you okay with that spend? Like, you as a citizen of the United States, do you say, because there are some people that are like, I'm okay with my tax dollars going to this. Are you okay with that?
That's a great question. That's such a deep question because we pay taxes, right? Like the government takes taxes from citizens and businesses to fund government, right? And part of funding government is funding the military. And we happen to be in the wealthiest nation in the world. And we happen to be in the country that has not the largest military in terms of people, but the largest military in terms of equipment, right? And so, like you were saying, helicopters, aircraft carriers, jets, missiles, bombs, nukes. We don't have the most nukes. I think Russia actually has more nukes, but the US has more. Deadlier, more accurate nukes, and also nuclear submarines and stuff like that. So then, you ask some like you just asked me, some regular person just sitting here, am I okay with that? I think that to say that, I think Americans, and I cut myself, that we have to say we're okay with it because we don't do anything to stop it, right? We don't. Like, regardless of the political party that's in charge. And I don't mean president, I mean, because the money for military comes from Congress and is approved through the Senate. I mean, the president will approve it or veto it, but they never veto military spending. So we vote for our elected people, and our elected people go to Congress and they vote to increase military spending every couple of years, like they do. And you will never see, and I've never seen, I can't think of any case, and I don't think it exists, and I don't know if it ever will, of anyone losing their seat in Congress because they approved military spending.
Wow.
They don't. And so as a recipient, we are a recipient of that because unlike the other, there's something like 80 wars or conflicts going on around the world at any one time. But not here, right? We don't have, Israel has what's called an iron dome. It's not a physical, literal dome. It is a anti-missile defense system that shoots down missiles that's coming into your land. Now the U.S. has something like that here as well, but we don't have any nations raining down missiles on us,
No.
right? We don't have, despite what Fox News says, we don't have terrorists on our southern border firing rockets into San Diego or Texas or Miami. Like that's not happening. Or Canada. Canada's not making military incursions on our northern border. Like none of that is happening to us. And we don't have inside this country an active counter government insurgency. Now, you can make the case that the white supremacists do that kind of stuff. Like they bombed Oklahoma City. right? They had that Waco thing. They had that thing up in Idaho with those Bundys. And then most recently, they attacked the Capitol. On January 6, 2021, they invaded the Capitol. So in some ways, we have that. But in general, we don't have anything. Now, some of that is due to the United States is very remote from the rest of the world. We're far apart, you know, because the Atlantic is a long way from Europe, from Africa, right? And from China. We're a long way from that. We're way across the ocean, either the Atlantic or the Pacific, if you go the other way. And no one's attacking us. Like, we're not in a land battle like a lot of these other countries. So, but at the same time, our military leaves our shores and they go out into the world and they do preemptive shit based on our money, right? They're in all these other governments and all these other lands, and we're doing shit. So we may not be at war officially, but we got military advisors in a lot of nations doing shit that the US government says protects and advances our interests around the world and protects and advances the interests of our allies. So, and you never see this stuff on the nightly news. You don't see it at all. Now, everybody knows we have a spy apparatus on this kind of stuff, but those 40, 80 wars, whatever, that are going on around the world, the United States, we're the number one supplier of military equipment. So a lot of these people are fighting these wars, they're using US military shit. Now, a lot of it is not the most advanced stuff. We sell old surplus stuff, but it's still our shit that we American citizens paid for. And so when you see these conflicts and wars going on, that's the US shit. Sometimes both sides are using. Like, we're the number one world arms exporter. So, but way back to your original question, I think it would be hypocritical for me or anyone else in this country to say that we're not okay with that, because we are. We're safe. We can go to school, to work, to the park, you know, public events, sporting events. You know, we could just go out and have a good time, and we are not worried about a foreign entity attacking us. And I think that's why that the 9/11 deal in New York was such a big deal. And I mean, it was a big deal because so many people got killed, but it was people from another nation, multiple nations, who somehow made their way here to attack us. And that was one of the reasons it was such a big deal, that the US, we do not get attacked on our home soil, right? We don't. And the closest we got to that by a foreign entity was Pearl Harbor in Japan, because Japan was kicking the Pacific's fleet, it was called. They were kicking their ass in the Pacific theater, and they got all the way to fucking Hawaii and bombed the shit out of that, right? And but that was close, because in California, they would turn off the lights during World War II because they were scared of Japan bombers getting to the western coast. And so we haven't had those kind of scares since 9/11. So you figure from World War II in the 40s, and then we didn't have anything from a foreign aspect hit our shores through the Korean War, through the Vietnam War, the Cold War with the Soviets, all the way to 2001 with 9/11. And that wasn't even a nation. That was just radicals, right? It wasn't a nation that did it. And now we're 20, almost 25 years from then. Nothing has happened. And so that cost of our, like, you hear some of these yahoos say, but there's some truth to it. That cost of our freedom is that money we pay to our military to not only pose a threat to the rest of the world, say, if you fuck with us, we're gonna kick, not only will we kick your ass, we're gonna go at other people that happen to like you. Like, that's what happened with 9/11, right? It was Osama bin Laden and them guys, and George Bush was like, you know what, we don't like you, but we're gonna get Iraq too and Afghanistan because they were harboring you. That was a 20-year just a mess. And so now, yeah, we're sitting here all free and happy. We can complain about, you know, TV, you know, sports joke bros can complain about Caitlin Clark and the WNBA. And we're just here living our fat, happy lives, you know, like Oprah worrying about Ozempic. But we could do that because we pay a whole lot of fucking money for our US military to make this all happy, to keep this this shit afloat like that. And you know what? I do think we should do more to promote peace around the world. And I think we do, but I don't think we do enough. So I think the war machine should be balanced with the peace machine. But you know something else that undercuts all that, sir? Goddamn capitalism. Because as long as these companies that contract to the US government and they make hundreds of billions of dollars to build the weapons that we then sell around the world, they make so much money, that shit ain't stopping no time soon.
It's crazy. I mean, that's really great perspective. I think about, I try in my life, sometimes I always tie back just the veganism standpoint. And we slaughter around 92 billion animals a year, 92 billion, just to keep up with feeding people. And what's interesting is that we have enough money to feed those animals for slaughter, but we don't have enough money to feed 8 billion people
That's
in the
remarkable.
world. Like, if you think about how where we spend, now some of that's not government related, but if you think about how we support meat industry, there's a lot of government funding in a lot of these agriculture areas. But like, to think about that, if you say that number, that we feed 92 billion animals a year, but we cannot feed 8 billion, that everybody has food on their plate, is something very similar to, I can't understand space in the universe. Like, I just can't wrap my mind around it.
That's remarkable. That's a remarkable stat. I mean, you're right. That is crazy because you're right. It makes no sense. And you know, I've read about food and starvation and everything. And look, I'm no expert on it, but I remember reading that we don't have a lack of food. We have a lack of distribution. That,
Yes.
and because we have these governments and fighting and all this kind of stuff, that food doesn't get where all the places that it could get. Like we know there's a war between Russia and Ukraine right now, and Ukraine is a mass exporter of wheat, and wheat is, you know, made makes a lot of food, you know, a lot of food, and they ship that around the world. Well, Russia started bombing their wheat fields. Like you start having shit like that happen, and now you go, wait a minute. So where the places they were shipping their wheat, what do those places do if Ukraine was their sole supplier of wheat, right? So now they got to go somewhere else to get wheat, some other nation to get wheat. And it's not as easy as saying, I used to get it from Ukraine. Now I'm going to get it from the state of Kansas. Well, you got to have the logistics for that, the entire process of getting that from one side of the globe to the other. And that now you're talking ships and shipping lanes and shipping rights and all that kind of stuff, right? And just all the stuff that goes with the logistics that goes with something like that and the amount. Well, but other nations are buying that stuff. So now you drive up the price. And now you have a country that's relatively poor, unable to afford the wheat that they need to keep their people alive. And so then what they do, they then raise taxes on those people, right? I mean, the trickle down effect of a war in Northern Europe between Russia and Ukraine is impacting some poor person on another part of the world who just needs a fair price for the wheat that they buy. It's crazy.
Yes,
Yeah, it's
it's
crazy.
insane.
Like I said, the food is there because probably miles from where that poor person is who needs that wheat, there's somebody feeding animals.
A pig farm, cattle, and they're feeding them soy and like wheat. And they're, it's incredible to think that we can feed that many animals, but we can't feed. So who's really the animal in this situation? Because if you can't feed 8 billion people, but you're feeding an animal, like to wrap my mind around the thought process and the psychology around that is too bad. Like it's too, it's still very similar to me in the universe going, wait, we're seeing the sun how many seconds later? Like, how is that even possible? Or if I want to see what this planet looks like, I have to wait 13 billion years. Like, I can't even wrap my brain around that, let alone why we can't feed people on a daily basis.
Right. Because we can, like it, we can, and all that stuff I just said is just if there was an alien nation, and I think there's an old Star Trek like this. or Twilight Zone, like this. If there was an old alien nation that popped up in the sky and said, "Look, we have the power to blow your planet up, and we're going to do it unless you do two things: you end all wars and you feed everybody," right? We would do it.
We would
Like,
do it.
right, you can literally do that. Like, you could, this globe, these 8 billion people, you could do that because we have the food, we have the mechanisms for distribution. We just don't have the will, and we have 200 world leaders, right? The heads of state or something like that's like 200 or 210 nations or something like that. Those 200 people and their militaries and governments just refuse to do it. They have a lot of priorities, but if there was an alien spaceship sitting right there, we're going to blow you up. Like, it's like that old thing you can do at work: will not and cannot. Right?
Yes.
We're choosing not to, but we can do it if we just have to make the decision to do it. And if
Yeah.
we, and you know, if it was a threat to blow up the planet, everybody dies unless everybody gets fed, then we would do it. So it tells me we're choosing not to do it.
We're choosing to keep people starving.
Yeah, or choosing to keep people starving. That's
God.
it's you're right. It's so hard to wrap your mind around that, huh?
I mean, it goes to like our political leaders trying to cancel, school lunches for kids that can't afford it. Like, here's their one meal that they might get per day, and you want to take that away, but you want a bigger expense for your lunch budget. Like, that type of logical thinking, I can't understand where somebody, like, who hurt that person to think, I deserve more money, but this kid who probably will only have this one meal a day shouldn't get food because it takes away from my $75 a day food stipend.
It makes no sense. You know what, sir? That reminded me, it's not the same, but it reminded me of today, and we're recording this on Wednesday. There was a story that the Southern Baptist Convention, so they're called the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, one of the largest church organizations in the country. They're headquartered down south. And they voted to prohibit women. Yeah, and they have tens of millions of members. Like, they're massive. They voted to prohibit women from getting IVF.
What?
Yeah, IVF. In vitro
In
fertilization.
vitro fertilization. Yep.
They said, nope, this is not something that we approve of. We don't want our women to get it. And it's all part of the movement, the wave of controlling women. It goes with outlawing abortion, le legalizing or keeping legal underage marriage, which is always an old man and a young girl, and stuff like that, right? It's all part of it. Making, I think Texas or no, Louisiana has made abortion medication Schedule One. Like they're heroin or cocaine or something. Like, they've outlawed those things, but the Southern Baptist Convention is saying no, IVF is not good. So just attacking women's reproductive rights. And I can remember the state, another state has said they're outlawing contraception. Like, contraception. Like, it's not like we are in the 1800s.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so I looked up the statistics for IVF. I'm thinking, it doesn't make sense to me because, on one hand, that really far right thing where, they want to have more white babies because
Yeah.
the demographics of the country is changing. Well, I'm thinking, well, why would they ban IVF? Because if you look at, now I just did two or three Google and Bing Safari searches to get the percentages, but IVF, the breakdown is 70, about 75, 77% of all IVF are done by white women. So I think, well, why would they not want white women to get pregnant? Because
Right.
that's sort of what they're talking about. They want more white babies. But why would they say no to this? Well, I posed that question, and then an older white lady responded to me, and she said, "It's because." Now, this is just her opinion. She said she believes it's because they want younger women to have babies. They don't want older women to have babies. Like they want, yeah, they want to keep. They want young girls. Like they like underage marriage is okay, but they want younger women to have as many babies as possible, and they want to discourage older women from having babies. And like it sort of makes sense, but it's just beyond vile. Like it's crazy. And then so I did a little deeper on the research because you know it's always posed as if it is conservatives or Republican or right wing who don't want these things because they want to stop Democrats because Democrats are wild sex fiends. You know, they just use abortion. They use abortion as birth control. You know, all that kind of bullshit like that. But statistically, there's no difference. Like just as many Christian women get abortions as non-Christian. Like there's no difference. It's the same. But what the sociologists and people who study this say is they do it in secret and then they still protest and publicly state that they're against abortion. But they're getting them at the same rate everybody else getting them. Right? And you know, and there's never
Damn.
any legislation that just says that all men should get a bisectomy. If you don't want unwanted babies, you don't want women to have abortions, because the easiest and most effective way to stop an abortion is to stop a man from ejaculating the side of a vagina.
Easiest. That's the number one. And it's easy for them to like have it reversed if they get married or
Right.
something.
Just every man in America, every boy, just like such a large percentage still get circumcised.
Yep.
You know what? Just continue that little method. Just go right down a little bit further to the vas deferens and cut that shit. And cut, as it happened to me, they cut it, they snip it, they cauterize it. And if you need it reversed, you know what? Maybe it won't work. And then maybe that's God's will.
Yep.
Yeah, but that in vitro thing really threw me off. And this guy who's a he said he got a master's in theology, but he's not religious anymore. He said, yeah, if you really think about it, you know, the story of Mary, she got in vitro fertilization too. Like,
Damn. We are, so I'm watching, so I watched this show called Evil. It is a really good show. It's on Paramount Plus. It's wrapping up its final season. So season four is the last one. And the concept of this is, it is, there's three leaders in this. There is a psychologist, a scientist, and a priest. And they are called from the Vatican to go see if people are possessed, if it has to do with something mentally, if they actually are possessed, or if there's something scientifically based that it can explain why something's happening. So the concept of this, and a lot of that comes up, and the reason why I'm bringing up this show, first of all, I love it. It's great, good acting, great storylines, is because of the whole like church perspective on things. So it pops up through like through different stories that they're telling, through like, there was one about pig farming and the pig farming and how Jesus sent all the pigs to, die.
Oh,
They
wait.
took a demon, then jumped him into put the pigs then dump, jumped into the water. So it's like this, there's a lot of thought process behind the church, but the psychologist struggled in a couple of seasons with identifying with church because she begged for her husband to come back and he finally came back. And she's like, uh-oh, now I have to go to church because I said I'd go to church. I said, because she said to, I'm praying, if you send my husband back, I'll go to church. I'll take my kids to church, all of that. Well, she doesn't want to go to church. Her husband came back. She's super happy, but she's now conflicted that she doesn't want to go to church because that's not what she wants to do. So
Hey,
I
that's
think
awesome.
it's crazy tying it a little bit into what you say about how, the church wants you to have children, but you can't have children. Like, oh, everybody but you can have children. We want this type of person to have church. But if you haven't watched Evil on Paramount Plus, I highly, highly, highly recommend
It
it.
is. I saw season one. And it is really good because the priest is thinking this is all religious based, and the therapist lady is thinking, no, there's a scientific explanation for this. And it's really good how they go through that.
It's really good because you get three different perspectives
Right.
on, you know, from an outsider, as we, the viewer, we're like, whoa, that guy looks possessed. Well, all of a sudden, the scientist comes in and says, you know, oh, there's a reason because sometimes pesticides get into the soil and then it's fed back to the pig. Like, so you get the science behind something that really makes you have to think about, like, is this really real? Is this person possessed? So it's really, really good. Paramount Plus is bringing their game. They also have brought back for season two, Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh,
So
I know you like that.
I love that. It is so violent. It is so, but let me tell you, Jeremy Renner, remember he was in that snowmobile accident? I
Yep.
thought for sure that show wasn't coming back, but he hasn't missed a beat. So there's two episodes. I'm all caught up on both of them. And I tell you, when I talk about violence, I mean, we're talking about a prison system in Kingstown, Michigan, and he is the guy, the mayor of Kingstown, that works with the prisoners and people outside the prison to keep peace in both places, make sure they get their drugs brought in. But when I talk to you about violence, it is there, they don't hold back. So
It's violent.
if you don't value or like watching something violent, you might have to turn your eyes away a couple times, but really, really good. So I'm super happy those two shows are back and I am all caught up on that. And The Real Housewives of Dubai came back.
Yes, I started watching it. It's so good.
How do they have so much fucking money, man? Like this shit. And first of all, don't tell me Dubai is pretty when you open up your window and it's just thick, heavy humidity. Like that. Don't try to kid me into thinking that 92 degrees is a plush, dry 92. It is chew your air before you breathe it humidity.
Right. That's why most of their events are indoors. Like, you got to be
My
in
God.
the
And
You're
they
in.
have to be wearing like wigs and shit because there's no way I would look like a soiled mattress in that humidity with my makeup and my hair. I don't know how they do it. Kudos to all of them that look amazingly beautiful, always show up, always decked out. That one model is always like,
Yeah, she's
she comes
gorgeous.
in the craziest shit. But
Yeah.
it's good. A lot of drama.
I started watching, I talked about a couple of game shows. One is called The 1%, and it's with Patton Oswalt, and there's 100 people, and it's just a trivia question. And they tell
Oh,
you,
yes.
yeah, they count down the percentage. They would tell you 90% of the people will answer this correctly. And they give you the question, and then you answer, and if you don't, you're out. And they just whittle it down. And I think I've only watched maybe three episodes, and every time it just gets down to two people. Like, the odds always work out just like they're
What is
saying.
that on? What streaming service?
It is on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a summer game show. And so it's called The 1%. It's really good. And then there's another one called Trivia with Balls.
BALL.
It's like
That's
family.
not on ABC.
No, it is. It is. It's like, I think it might not be on ABC, but I'll have it in the show notes. But it's like Family Feud. So there's two families, and there's a giant swimming pool in front of them. In front of their opposite sides or something. And it's just a trivia question. And so there's like six family members, and then they switch off. They say, okay, here's the trivia question for this family. And they give you the question, and they give you six answers, and they'll tell you one of these answers is wrong. And then the family members have to go stand in front of this swimming pool by the answers that they choose. And you know one of them is wrong, but they could just leave that one out. Okay. So then they say, okay, release the balls. There's these giant balls that come down this ramp and they hit the people. And if you're wrong, it hits you and then knocks you into the water. It's fantastic because the people, they can hear the ball coming, but they can't see it, and they think they have the right answer, but at the last second if you have the right answer, the ball is stopped by like a wall that hits it.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. But to the person or persons who got the answer wrong, it just goes thump and you just fly. It's so good. It's so silly. And then finally, so you get down to there's just one family member from one family who is correct. And then they get like a final round to answer some questions. And if you win, the winning family can get up to $100,000.
Oh, damn. Okay, that's
Yeah,
nice.
for
I'm
the
like Family
every.
Feud, who hasn't changed their $10,000 winning for I don't even know how
I'd be so mad at Family Feud. It's so
long.
mad. Like, why did I do all this shit for $5,000?
This is a great example of inflation not working in our favor.
Like, right? Like, why are they holding on to that money? Like, what are
I
you
don't know.
doing? What
It's
are you
so
doing?
crazy.
Like that family that
Okay.
won, last night in that game, they won $36,000. But it's six of them. I'm like, you know what? That is not life changing.
That's not even remotely. So your game showing, are you watching, are you caught up on Dark Matter on Apple TV?
I am two episodes behind.
Oof.
It's so good though.
It's so good. And I can't even, I this last episode, so the new episode just came out this morning, so I've not watched it yet, but last week's episode just has my mouth dropping. Like I don't even know how they're gonna, I don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah,
So,
so
really, Dark Matter on Apple TV, chef's kiss.
I should catch up on that tomorrow. I started the new Star Wars series on Disney Plus, The Acolytes, and it's set like 100 or so years before the Jedis that we know. And so it's only they only I think two episodes are out. It's very good. And I also went to the movies to see the Will Smith, Martin Lawrence
Oh, did you
Bad
like it?
Boy. It's so good because you know why? It's a summer movie.
Yeah.
So and it's you know it's Bad Boys, so it's just like explosions, car chases, double crosses, all that kind of stuff. And you know, some people be mad at Will Smith, but Will Smith is charismatic. Like he's really good in his movies. Like I don't know, he acts, but he's also just Will Smith. Do you know what
Yep.
I mean? He just has that kind of personality though. And so it's really good, like for those kind of movies. And I saw it was the top movie around the world. It's opening weekend, so there you go.
That, okay, so I'd probably wait for that to come out. I am excited because House of Dragons starts on June 16th,
Yeah.
so this Sunday, I think. And then The Bear comes out too. And then I think
Yes.
now season two or part two of Bridgerton is going to be out tomorrow. So then I will binge
Yes.
the whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. So Bridgerton, I watched the finale of Abbott Elementary. It was just perfection. That
Oh
was
my God.
fantastic. And I watched a couple. I watched the I finished what's man, what's the name of that show? It's on Prime. Okay, I'll think of it later. It's the one based off the game, the video game. And I also started Outer Range, season two of Outer Range. And The Boys on Prime start next week as well, season three.
Now
It's
that's violent. Like,
oh my
okay,
God, that show is
that's
violent.
violent. That
It is
show is
wonderfully
violent.
violent. It's just it's off
Oh,
the rails. It's off the rails. But yeah, so I started that. And I think the only other show I started watching is a new I'm on season four of MILF Manor.
God, I just on my lunch today, I started watching episode seven because they brought in two new women.
It's a mess. It's a hot mess. Oh, I forget the episode, but one of the lady was like, oh, this is, it was really strange kissing him because he's just a year older than my son, but they have the same name. I was like, oh, Jesus.
It's such a train wreck that I try to look away, but I also can't look away. And I blame my brother because I would have never known about MILF Manor if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, it is a mess. So yeah, so I'll put these in a couple other shows in the show notes, and we will do it again next week.
We will do it again next week, right before your big 60.
All right.
Yes, please, I know that some of you do reach out, give us feedback, rate us, share us, save us on auto download. Give us, hey, listen, we will talk about anything and everything because we have an opinion on everything. So,
Ring it.
Bring it. We love it. We'll talk. We will bring it to the table. We'll share our opinions, and you can take what you will from that. But I appreciate always getting this time with you every week to catch up, see what's going on in your world, and get your insight on some of the big hot topics that's happening in the world.
Yes. So we will reconvene next week. And then also, I forgot to mention next week or so, the trials, the U.S. Olympic team trials start next week. So
Got it.
the country will be forming its Olympic team for all the various sports because the Olympics are in July. So yeah, a lot coming up.
Lot coming up, and I think, is that Summer Olympics? Yeah,
Summer Olympics
right. Okay.
in Paris.
Wow. And Simone Biles, we think, well, she's gonna do something. Is Simone Biles' husband gonna be there?
He could be there. He was at the national championship with a little notepad taking notes.
Gonna critique her and give her feedback.
What are you gonna say?
If he did that to me and I was Simone Biles, I would definitely do a bunch of jumps and then make sure that that notebook slapped him in his face. I
Just.
do a lot of cartwheels, flips, and making sure I kicked him on every direction. But yeah.
Oh God, yeah. So we will, yeah. We'll cover all that, and we'll cover some political stuff next week. Some more TV stuff. Got a lot of new TV shows, so
Yeah,
we'll
you talked
cover new.
about the other thing I think we have to talk was Caitlin like playing for the Olympics. Well, I think that was a topic that came up. So we have to talk about that.
Yes. We'll dive in. We'll dive into the U.S. women's basketball team and U.S. Olympic stuff, yeah, because there's always controversies and stuff, but it's always like the stories of how the athletes get there or who doesn't get there and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, we'll dive into that too.
Love it. All right. Well, thanks for sitting with us today, everybody. We look, yep. Peace out. Bye.
Oh.
Love this podcast? Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.